Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo!
We are excited to be with you for another episode of the podcast. If you haven't taken a few seconds to head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review, we sure would appreciate that. We would love to know what you think of the podcast. And those five-star ratings and words left help other people find the podcast as well as they search for student ministry content on iTunes. We're also available, thanks to producer Nathan, on Spotify. So if that is your media platform choice, then we are there as well. So this week, we can kind of say this is a mini series on camp, because we had camp stories in the last episode, and we welcomed in some of our camp team that told some amazingly hilarious stories, as well as some life change stuff that they've seen over the years of being involved in camp. So we're going to kind of camp out. So this week, we're going to tackle one of the questions, John Paul, that we get asked a lot. I had a conversation with a youth pastor here in the last couple weeks where we tackled these questions. And I know as you're out and around, you get asked the same thing anytime. Anytime is strong. Frequently, we get asked this question in regards to camp. Does it still work? Is it still worthwhile? And you were at camp last week.
Last week.
And so just coming off, speaking at a week of camp. And so you have been in the environment recently. And so I would love for us to toss that question around. Like, does camp still work? Is it still worth all the time, energy, effort that's put into it? Are students still going to camp the same way that they did several years ago? I mean, all of that is wrapped up into that question of, is camp still effective?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we filter this question through is, where is the question coming from, right? So if this is somebody that's pulling off their own camp every year, then it is totally understandable for somebody to feel like leading up to camp, or, you know, maybe even like 3 months removed from camp and I'm starting back into planning the next one.
Right.
That the grind of planning camp and pulling off camp can be really difficult and might lead you to the place where it's like, okay, is this worth all the time and investment that I put into it?
Yeah.
I've been there before.
Yep.
Camp is hard to pull off by yourself. And so the easy solution is just come to our camp.
That's right.
We have Fuge and Student Life and a bunch of variations of both of those camps. And if it's getting really difficult for you to pull it off, hey, we have teams of people that pull off camp really, really, I mean, exceptionally well.
They work on it year round so that you don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So understanding where somebody might be coming from, that seriously, that's not just a plug for Fuge and Student Life, but understanding why somebody might be asking that question, I think, is important.
Yeah, and I think there's room to say, too, like the podcast listeners that have been listening for a while know that we've served together in church settings as well as here at Lifeway, and we did our own camps, yeah. And there really was great benefit in us doing our own. And so we don't want to, like, if that's your context and that's what you've chosen to do, great. Let's make sure it's strategic. Make sure there's reasons why that you can articulate that. So we're not dismissing that as a viable option.
That's right.
That's what our direct experience in student ministry was doing. Now, the counterpoint to that is, if planning camp and if being involved in that grind is taking away joy for you in ministry, is taking away from you being able to accomplish the really important week-to-week and day-to-day aspects of ministry for a period of time because camp is so ginormous in your life, then the solution would be take a different approach to camp, like partnering with a camp provider, or looking at your own schedule and evaluating your work and your time spent and try to get an earlier start so that you save time towards the end. So there are a lot of different ways to approach that, but
Yeah, or bring more people into that equation.
That's right.
If you're going to pull off that camp on your own, maybe you need a bigger team, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you're spending time doing something that you could find someone more gifted in doing those things to help you pull that off, that would legitimately enjoy the access that you give them to help pull off that camp and feel like they're using spiritual gifts. There's a lot of ways around that. But I think when you get down to answering the question, is camp worth it?
Yeah.
Spiritually for the students. We've been called to lead students down this road of sanctification. Does it get them further down the road in a significant enough, impactful enough way for us to say this experience is worth pulling off however we're going to do it?
That's right.
Signing up for Fuge or pulling off our own camp. It's just, to me, there's no question. Camp is one of the most beneficial experiences that a student could be led through.
Yeah.
For so many reasons. Getting them out of their normal flow of life, getting them away from the circumstances that would normally distract them from hearing from the Lord. Doing that for an extended period of time. We know something like a Disciple Now or a weekend retreat. You've got a Friday and a Saturday. Those couple of days, those are always important days. You stretch that out. Really, a student is not into the event, immersed in that event, in that atmosphere of the event, until day two.
Yeah.
So you're really still just kind of getting them into it. And so by the time a Disciple Now or some other, you know, a winter retreat or whatever it is that you do, by the time you get to the end of it, those kind of events, have they really feel like they've just begun, which is what makes a DNL fun.
Yeah, that's right. You get it all done in a short period of time.
But extending that out into camp and watching a student progress, even in this last camp for First Hendersonville, one of the things that stood out was the students' response in worship. And by the end of the week, Ben, I told you this yesterday, I think, that several of us were almost crying at the very last service because there were young men, students, in the audience worshiping after that last sermon was done that were just shouting, "I love Jesus! Jesus!" Yeah. I mean, they're unprompted. Is it worship leader? What? It wasn't a fast, upbeat song. It was just...
No 1, 2, 3 shout.
No.
Yeah.
It was just worship the way it had been cultivated in the hearts of those students over the course of that week was just overflowing. And it really did take me back.
Yeah. I think the word cultivate is a really good word to describe the effectiveness of camp and what you're talking about, because there's so much noise in the life of a teenager. In our lives, there's just so much noise in our culture today that those seeds of worship and hearing the word and meditating on the word, it takes time for those seeds to be planted and cultivated and grown. And again, we're talking about a week's time frame. So someone might say, well, that cultivation is really longer than, like, yes,
absolutely.
We understand that. But I think you can see, and this is one of the reasons why I think camp is so special, you can see seeds planted on the first day that are grown and begin to bear fruit on the last day through that camp experience, because so much of the noise is gone. I've heard other people describe camp as a week of starving the flesh and feeding the spirit.
Yeah.
And I think that's a truism of what a good camp will do.
Yes.
And in that moment, I would say, man, without question, camp is effective to take those students away and limit the distraction as much as possible and feed them the word, feed them worship environment over and over and over and over and over. That creates a moment that opens them up to hear from God in a way that's different than at home on a Tuesday during the regular part of the year.
Yeah, and I think there's not just the seed planting and the cultivation, but the Lord has always allowed us to see camp as a time of harvesting too.
Yeah.
There are so many students whose hearts are primed and ready to make a commitment to the Lord before they get to camp. But in the normal flow of life for them, it's often difficult for them to make a decision to really make that commitment because it's like you said, life gets so noisy.
Yeah.
That sometimes it's difficult for them to step out for whatever reason. There's 100 reasons that we could probably name of obstacles for students stepping out. But when they're immersed in that environment, you often see those heart level aspirations that get covered up by peer pressure or whatever other fear or whatever other distraction rise to the top at camp. And it's often, you know, you bring somebody in to preach camp, they're going to say a lot of the same things that you said. They're going to say it differently. They say it from a different perspective. It's that same thing. You know, the kids would come up to us all the time like, oh, I just loved when they said this. Oh, you know, and you wanted to be like, oh, do you remember the whole sermon series we did on that like a couple of months ago? Yeah. Did you not like that one?
I know you loved it because I've said it over and over. Yeah. That always and I think it's funny now.
Yeah.
Because it just, you know, it's going to happen every time. And I think that's good because I think that goes back to the cultivation. Like, who cares if they finally get it
right
from the guest, but it takes getting them away for those seeds to really take root and begin to grow.
Well, and the truth is that as we are faithful to preach the word to these students, they get it at camp often because they've heard it a bunch already.
Yep.
They've been primed with it. And if somebody else gets to be the person that pulls the trigger on the message that where it finally hits home, great.
Yeah.
But so often those things hit home because the ground has already been plowed. They've already been softened to those things. They're not just trying to figure out the concept in that moment, but it's, hey, I've come to a place of understanding. And those light bulb understanding moments carry well past camp.
Yeah, that's true. And man, I think that's one of the things that makes camp effective. So if we're asking the question, is camp still effective? Then one of the things that helps make it effective is what student pastors and ministry leaders are doing in the year leading up to that event. So if we're not planting seeds and not plowing the ground and not training volunteers and not building relationships, like if we're not doing the things of student ministry and we're just relying on camp to be this big shot in the arm of momentum where everything happens every year, then it's never going to live up to what we've placed it in our mind as.
Yeah.
So I think part of the equation for that question is not isolating camp and saying, is it still effective? But saying, how does camp plug into and fulfill what I've been trying to do year round in the ministry? Like, how can that be the culmination of what we've been working towards? Or maybe not even culmination, you may not see ministry like that, but how can this be a big gear in the machine of ministry that we're trying to operate?
Man, I think that is dead on. And so much of that, you know, you can view camp as a time to get students away, hear some good messages, do a couple of Bible studies, and play lots of games.
Yeah.
Or you could see camp as a much more strategic opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not only going to be great preaching and great Bible study that makes a difference, but when you're intentional about using a camp experience to galvanize your students, to draw them together, to create unity among your people, to give you moments with the leaders that you take to camp, to be able to bond together with them as a closer team that's moving in one direction, you know, really taking advantage of all of the opportunities that you have, you can leave camp with a significantly stronger ministry than you came to camp with just because of the time you've spent together bonding.
That's right.
With everyone. So the mobilization power that you have post camp to act on the things that you learned at camp, if you leverage those moments, is a tremendous potential that I don't know why anyone would let go of.
Yeah. I want to focus in on one of the things that you said there, because I think it's a component of camp that's not often thought about, and that's your time with leaders. Because it's often the case, listen, you see leaders a couple times a week, Sundays and Wednesdays, if they serve at both. Maybe there's a training moment that you have that you see them, but there's not a lot of frequent activity with leaders from a week-to-week basis.
Yeah.
But when you're at camp with them, they see you in a leadership environment every day, all day, mm-hmm. and you speak into them from a leadership perspective every single day. Sometimes multiple days, depending on your camp schedule. Yeah. I mean, sometimes multiple times a day, depending on your camp schedule.
Right.
So oftentimes, your leadership with the group of people can either take leaps forward or steps backward in how you lead with those leaders at camp. So you can build a foundation of your leadership at camp where 3 months after that, your leaders are still saying, man, that person is a great leader because I remember how they led us at camp.
That's right.
So that can really move, not camp can move your students forward, but in terms of your leadership credibility among your people can take leaps forward if you treat that moment the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. And that's just one of those times that you've got hours and hours and hours where you are going to have opportunity. You're going to be in front of your leaders, whether you're with your leaders and students at rec, you're with your leaders and students during free time, you're with your leaders and students during meals, you're in front of them during worship services, in any of your gatherings. Hopefully, you're doing some kind of a leader meeting every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of those are opportunities to speak in. And it's, so for those, some of it is probably going to be coaching. Some of it is going to be giving expectations for camp. But that's just a great time to just, so one of the things that I did at this camp at First Hendersonville, because I think it's important to build relationship with the students and with the leaders, because you need them all to run with you. As the camp pastor, right. I need them all to be running with me. If we're going to go together and learn what I feel like the Lord has given me to teach twice a day, every day. So, man, a game of cornhole with three other leaders, to me, is not just something fun to do. That's a way to get to know and bond with some of those leaders.
That's right.
Mealtime is not just to hang out with students. It's always a big deal to me to sit down and have a couple of meals at the leader table if they're not all, you know, out there with the students, sitting down at the leader table to just get to know them and hear their stories and what do you do and what's your background. That's a huge deal for the camp pastor to build that relationship. For the student pastor, even more so, though. I need them to run with me for a week. You need them to run with you for years to come.
That's right.
So that relational equity that you can build there, I think, is invaluable.
Yeah. So as we think about the is camp still effective, relational equity, leadership credibility, being with them set apart time for an entire week accelerates and moves that down the road. I think another key factor in trying to answer this question, if you as a listener are debating this in your mind right now, like, do I still do camp or not? I think one of the key questions is, what are you trying to accomplish with camp? Because I think sometimes when we wonder if it's effective, maybe if we back up and say, well, what were we trying to accomplish? And how did the answer to that question lead us to do camp in the way that we chose to do it? So I think there are always going to be people who take a step forward in their relationship with Jesus at camp. They're going to grow in maturity. I think that there is always a high chance that people are going to come to know the Lord.
Right.
For the first time at camp. So those things, I think, are going to happen along the way. But I think it's an important question to ask, what do I want to have happen here? Is my camp about primarily, again, your group's going to come together more, people are going to get saved, people are going to grow in maturity, but is your primary objective with camp for us to grow in unity as a student ministry?
Yeah.
Or is your primary objective in camp for us to take steps of discipleship? Or is your primary objective with camp to see as many lost people attend and come to know the Lord as we can? And I think identifying a purpose like that, and certainly there may be more purposes in your context, but identifying the purpose and then structuring the camp in order to do that is a really important step in answering the is camp effective question.
Yeah. Yeah. The planning and implementation, the way that you instruct your leaders, the way that you build your student groups, the way that you have your students housed together.
Yeah. Maybe even location.
Location. Yeah. All of that can play into. And I think probably a lot of people would say all of the things that you mentioned are high priority at something like camp.
Yes.
But placing one above the others and giving a list of those and then planning down that list. First objective is to accomplish this. How do we do this in every aspect of camp?
Mm-hmm.
Secondary objective is to accomplish this. What do we build into these experiences that are already accomplishing one to make sure that we navigate our way to two and then to three and to four? And it's like everything else that we talk about, putting some thought and some intentionality, some kind of a system behind the way that you're planning these things. And
yeah.
And man, we've shared with you before the idea of just having one theme for the whole year to drive, this is what I'm going to accomplish this year. I mean, imagine if you had those priorities and those objectives planned all the way through the whole year. And camp was just one of those high points, one of those major emphasis moments where you know, I'm going to take some serious ground in these objectives we've been running toward for half a year already.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a launching pad for growth in every one of those areas. So one of the criticisms of camp is, well, camp is frustrating to me because we get on this spiritual high and then everybody comes home and it feels like we just go right back to normal.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I feel like it's a waste of time. Like, does it even count? How do you answer that?
Yeah. So I think the scriptural basis, like if we want to use scriptural examples for why to do an event or camp. I mean, I don't know that we can say, well, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 and it was a camp.
They camped.
They had tents, right? So like, I don't think we could go there necessarily. But we do see throughout key moments in the Old Testament, God directing his people to, hey, this big thing just happened in your life. Take stones from the river and build an altar or raise an Ebenezer. Like if you want to go, people are like, what is that? Right. So it's Google, right? You sing hymns and you say that and you don't know why. It's a key moment in scripture, or build an altar, or remember this. And I think, like I would say, that is one reason to do camp. Like we need to provide moments in student ministry throughout the year where God could, again, it's all up to him, right? Where God could move in such a way that it is a catalytic moment or a memorial stone moment in a student's life.
That's good.
And I think God takes those high points as he walks and leads the people of Israel, and he has them walk through that high point and has them build an altar to remember it so that they can teach generation after generation the faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
So I would say a couple things on this. One, maybe the problem is not that camp is a high point and then we go back to normal, but maybe we don't do a good enough job of reminding of the faithfulness.
That's so good.
So that's one. The other one that I would say is we have to provide those moments where God could, again, it's up to him, and I want to keep the sovereignty where it needs to be. Our programming is just that. It's just programming.
That's right.
But doing camp can be, and like I've had these moments in my life, both as a student pastor and as a teenager, that were memorial stone events for me at some kind of event or at a camp or something like that. And so I think it's okay to have those spiritual high moments, because maybe when you come back, the valleys aren't as low as they were. You've reached a new place in your relationship with Jesus, or you've led your students to a new place in their relationship with Jesus. And when they go back, quote, to normal life, maybe normal life is above where normal life was this time last year.
Yeah.
Or this time 2 months ago. So I think we've got to remind people of what God has done. And I think we've got to be okay with those spiritual high moments propelling us to a new place that changes where the, quote, old place was.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's just part of the role of the student pastor. I don't think it is. I know it is.
Yeah.
Part of the role of the student pastor to create and facilitate those environments where our students can meet with the Lord.
Mm.
Because so many of them don't know how to create those moments for themselves.
Right.
And so we are placing them in these moments, in these places of greatest opportunity to meet the Lord. And we're praying and trusting that God will do what we ask him to do, mm-hmm. to come meet our students and to lead them to his throne, to sanctify them, to mature them. I love what you said. Maybe we don't do a good enough job of helping them to maintain this remembrance of what the Lord did at camp. What do you think would be some ideas for student pastors to do that well?
Yeah, I think, one, telling stories, have students tell stories themselves.
Open mic night?
I'm not a huge open mic night fan. I think you can do it rehearsed or via video. But I do think giving the students a voice to what God has done in their life is a really important piece of this. I think giving older, more mature students in the ministry a chance to lead in this way, and the younger students hearing from them, here's what camp has meant to me and has done in my life over the years or this year, is really important to continue that tradition of, man, God moves in this way. I think that's an older can bring younger along moment. And then I think there needs to be moments throughout the year where we focus on remembering how God's been faithful to move. Many times in student ministry, we promote camp. You know, maybe you start in January and you start promoting camp until you go in June or July. And then you come back and you have the one night and you show the highlight video and you don't talk about camp until January again. And even in those moments, you're back to promotional mindset.
Yeah.
Rather than remember what God did. It's remember the zip line and remember the beach and remember the whatever.
Yeah.
Versus, hey, let's pause halfway through this semester and let's just look at what God's done over the past few months. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to focus in on camp, but camp can be a part of that. Hey, let's look at what God's done and let's remember his faithfulness since we kicked off in August.
Yeah.
And remember, camp led into that. And man, I remember when Joey came to know the Lord at camp this past summer, and he's sitting right here. And, you know, those kinds of things, just to keep it fresh on people's minds. I mean, when God instructed the people to build this altar or raise this as remembrance, it would be in a place that would be seen somewhat frequently.
Right.
Right. So it was meant to be as you were walking with your family or herding mm-hmm. the sheep by this location to go to the next field. Hey, Dad, what's that right there?
Yeah.
And then they would be able to share. And so I think maybe those moments trickled and dripped in throughout the year is a way to approach that. It also does so much for your leaders to hear stories of how God's moving.
Yeah.
And I think that is a constant encouragement. I think we may have talked about in another episode on how to lead volunteers, the importance of them hearing stories of how God's moving recharges their batteries and keeps them moving forward. But it just speaking of the faithfulness of God is a huge component of that.
So what do you think about, so we're talking about having this plan in mind for camp before you ever get to camp. So it's a good idea to have it planned.
Yes, absolutely.
But but even thinking about, these are the things I want them to take away from camp. These are my top priorities, A, B, C, D. We want to accomplish these things. How do you feel about going ahead and mapping out, this is the monument that I would like to build in the minds and hearts of these students that we're going to come back to months later?
Yeah.
Does that feel manipulative to you to go ahead and plan the marker moment? You know, with an understanding, what the Holy Spirit does may be completely different. You might build a monument that looks a lot different than what you thought.
Yes.
But would it be manipulative to say, I'm going to build this into camp because this is what we're going to be studying in Bible study. This is what I've asked the camp speaker to preach on. This is what we're going to build our rec time, our, you know, big group rec activities. They're going to point to this kind of a lesson.
So then you like do a foot washing on the last night or something. Like one of those. Like that's a cheesy example, but something that
maybe doesn't point my paint my question in the best light. but
are you a fan of the feet washing?
I've had that go weird on me.
Yeah.
And I didn't go after it went weird, I didn't go back.
No. I'm the same way. I'm not against it as something to do. I've just felt really weird.
Yeah.
So that's a cheesy example, but I get where you go. Like, we want to plan this one thing that we think will be a remembrance moment.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Man, I don't feel bad about that at all. Again, because the Holy Spirit's going to do and move how he's going to move. I think planning the theme and having the Bible study, like, I think all of those are pieces that lead to that moment of remembrance. And so, man, I don't think at all a creative way for people to solidify the thing that you're trying to teach them that week or have them walk away with. In fact, I think that's a positive thing to do. Like, if we just go straight learning styles for a minute and talk about the different learning styles that people have, some are going to pick that up from a small group Bible study. Some are going to pick it up from the pastor of the camp that as they preach. Some are going to pick it up from the creative thing that you design.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be that remember. And some are going to pick it up if you're intentional with the rec or whatever goes on during that time that also points to the point. And so I think it's wise discipleship to think through all of those things and have everything point to the one central truth.
Yeah,
for sure. And even if it's, man, they take something home with them from the camp that they set on their shelf and it reminds them of what it is that the point was for that week. I feel good about all of that stuff. With the open-mindedness of, here's what we would like to plan, and here's what we're going to pray that God uses these things to do, but he's going to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. Work like it depends on you. Pray knowing it depends on the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Another thing that you mentioned earlier is the way that you talk about camp. And this really stuck out in my mind. How are you talking about camp when camp rolls around? There's an old student ministry adage, statement, whatever, rule that I've always found so valuable, and that is what you win them with, you win them too. And so in asking the question, is camp worth it? I think that you probably are asking that question if you've been winning them to camp with games and the beach or camp tradition or whatever the bells and whistles are, you know, our annual paintball tournament, our whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, if you're struggling to get kids to camp with all the bells and whistles of camp, it may very well not feel worth it. But if you've developed a culture in your student ministry that you're winning them to camp and they're excited to go to camp because you've done a good job of telling the God stories and highlighting to students the way that the Lord has moved, letting them speak, letting them live that out in front of their students, then I would guess you're probably not the one that's asking whether or not camp is worth it, because you've won them with encounters with the Lord at camp.
Man, I think that's such a great way to phrase that, because so let's say you identify the primary reason for your camp as being, we're going to see as many lost people come to camp as possible and as many people come to know the Lord that week as possible.
Yeah.
So we know other things are going to happen, but that's the primary thing. Well, you can promote that as beach, 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 beach. Everybody bring your friends. It's going to be awesome. And pictures of the sun. And I don't think it's bad to show pictures of the sun and the sand and talk about the beach and all that. But I think that's a different promotional tactic than, hey, students, remember what happened last year when you brought your friends and they came to know the Lord and they're sitting right next to you right now. God can do that again with more of your friends.
Yeah.
And we've picked a location that we believe your friends want to go to. And that might be the mountains, and that, you know, every context is different, right? Like if you live at the beach and your church is near the beach, your students may get tired of that. I have no idea. But you can then teach them and show them, hey, this is the vision. This is what we're trying to accomplish. We want your friends to come to know the Lord, and God's done that, and he can do it again. And we've picked a location that we believe is going to be awesome for your friends. So that's going to be exciting for them. But the centerpiece of that is, hey, you did this last time and God was faithful to draw them to himself. He can do that again.
Yeah.
Versus sand and sun, sand and sun, sand and sun.
Right. And man, I would always prefer, I'm just going to toss this out there, I'm a mountains camp guy.
Dude, I am too. 100%. Like, given personal preference, no beach for me.
Kids will just die in the ocean. That's what I'm always worried about.
There's a chance of that, for sure. There is definitely a chance.
Yeah.
There are a lot more issues that you have to navigate from a safety, security, and, man, I would even argue a sense of purity standpoint.
Yeah.
At bikinis, the beach, then
you don't have bikinis in the mountains. Well, right. You might,
depending on the mountain.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it's like less likely that they're in it all day.
Right.
If you allow the bikini to begin with,
right,
which you shouldn't.
No,
should be one piece city.
That's right, and we don't want to put it all on the girl. Like it's not. We don't want to go down that road. But at the same time, listen, there are challenges in a student ministry environment and what you're trying to accomplish in that setting, then can be removed immediately in a different setting.
Yeah.
Now, again, a lot of people go to beach camp. I've done beach camp. We do beach camp here because there are a lot of people that believe in it and have a strategic reason behind it. And Godspeed to you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to serve you that way if that's where you want to be.
That's right. But, man, personal preference-wise, I would rather be in the mountains. In a non-bug-infested situation.
See, that's the only thing that I was going to say. First night in my cabin, I had a tick crawling on my leg. It didn't dig in. I got it.
Oh.
That next morning, I had two brown recluse spiders in my sink in my bathroom. And I was like, yo, this is not starting off real strong.
No way.
Yeah, it was bad news. I squashed one of them, and then I realized it couldn't get out of the sink. So I was like, I'm going to take a picture. And I took a picture and Googled it. It is brown recluse. No doubt.
See, I can't handle the recluse, man.
Yeah, that part I didn't like. I got all worried every time I got in the bed. I was like checking the sheets and the pillowcases.
You have to.
Yeah.
Like you have to then check everything. You have to sleep in a Ziploc bag.
But you know what? A brown recluse will bite you. You can go to the hospital. If a shark bites you, you're done.
There's truth to that, unless your hospital's 6 hours away.
Yep.
And then you're...
Hey, that's what a good camp nurse is for.
That's right. That's right.
You better bring the anti-venom.
Dude, I don't do spiders, man. All right, last words. I think you would understand from this episode that we believe camp is effective and that it takes some thought and it takes some strategy and identifying the purpose and the leadership and relational equity that you get from, like, all of those things are in the yes column for is camp effective.
Yeah. I think you need to do camp. You just straight up need to do camp.
Yes.
Figure out what's best for you. If you're running your own camp, call me or Ben. We'll come preach it.
Yeah, that's right. Glad to help however we can. With that, you can also check out Fusion Student Life. We'd love to serve you in those ways as well. Thank you for listening week in and week out to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. You can reach John Paul Basham on Twitter at John Paul Basham. You can reach me at Ben Trueblood. You could reach Lifeway Students at Student Ministry.
Yep.
We will see you next time.